Well, it turns out there's another mysterious object coming from interstellar space that's approaching our solar system. Also, brain hack devices must be scrutinized, some top scientists are saying. Some very interesting stuff with that. Also, Facebook is now working on a secret codenamed Orion project that seems really similar to that movie They Live, if you remember that. We are talking about how our times today, things in our times today, current events, are leading to the end times that we read about in the book of Revelation, Daniel, and several other places. Today we are focusing on the technology aspect of it. Last week we focused more on the geopolitical. Next week we're going to focus more on the religious aspect of it. So all that and more on today's Into the Multiverse.
This is Into the Multiverse with Josh Pack.
All right, welcome everybody. I hope you have had a great week. We had a lot to talk about last week and got a lot to talk about this week. So, as I said in the introduction, we're going to be focusing on some of the technological aspects. Part of the technological aspects have to do with what we're able to observe in the heavens. You know, we read in the Bible how the heavens are used for signs and seasons and things like that. Well, we're able to see a lot more of those signs. And I think that God probably knew that. It seems like a pretty safe assumption that we as human beings would get to the point where we were able to see a lot more signs in the heavens. And we're seeing those quite a bit. I believe that that could be a precursor to the end times. And I believe that the time that we're living in right now is leading us straight there. So we're gonna focus on that. Before we get to all of this, though, if you haven't had a chance, make sure you subscribe to this channel, click the bell for notifications. And if YouTube does not notify you, just know that every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Central, you'll get a new episode of Into the Multiverse. All right, so there's this new this I actually found on Skywatch TV. It's linked from another article from CNBC. So we're going to talk about Facebook, how they're working on these new smart glasses with Ray-Ban. They're codenaming it Orion. But I wanted to look at this note that this has come from Skywatch here. Note from Skywatch: Orion. You can see right here, Orion is connected in ancient times with Nimrod, who built the Tower of Babel in an attempt to coalesce all human languages in contempt of God and toward building a global pagan order. While Agios is Greek and transcribes masculine gender words connected to otherworldly entities. Orion is also the star cluster mentioned in Job 38, 31 through 32, which many quote unquote aliens have communicated through abductees as the location of their home planet. We find all this very interesting when compared to the thriller They Live, thoroughly discussed in the book Exo Vaticana. They Live, it's a cult movie in which the hero Nada retrieves a special pair of glasses that, when worn, reveal a hidden reality. Quote, the media and advertising hide omnipresent subliminal stimuli to obey, consume, reproduce, and conform, thus explaining humankind's passive attitudes towards progress and obsession with the banal. Well, many of the elites are actually grotesque aliens who look like animated skinless corpses, end quote. Is Facebook planning more that can be readily perceived with its top secret code name Orion? So this is one that we have to talk about, and this will actually this type of thing has been tried before, and it didn't really take off. You know, Google had Google Glass; it didn't really take off. But I believe at some point something like this will. So this comes from CNBC. Facebook is working on smart glasses with Ray-Ban codenamed Orion. Now, remember back, too, it wasn't that long ago we had Zach Drew on the show, and he talked to us about Elon Musk's Neuralink, which would be literally a brain chip that they're developing, a brain implant that's supposed to improve all sorts of things. Well, the only real difference here is one is underneath the skin and one is outside the skin. So what we're talking about with these glasses, it's obviously not an implant, but it's amazing the level of privacy these companies can take away from the citizens with these types of things. I mean, we already see that a lot just with our cell phones. But so it says Facebook has been working to develop augmented reality glasses out of its Facebook Reality Labs in Redmond, Washington for the past couple of years, but struggles with the development of the project have led the company to seek help. So now Facebook is hoping to partnership with Ray-Ban, parent company Luxottica, which will get them completed and ready for consumers between 2023 and 2025, according to people familiar. The glasses are intentionally codenamed Orion, and they are designed to replace smartphones, the people said. The glasses would allow users to take calls, show information to users on a small display, and live stream their vantage point to their social media friends and followers. I mean, already we, you know, the whole world is connected through cell phones, but this would be something that's right on your face with you all times, you know, and it's pretty creepy. But this thing, these corporations could use this to track everywhere you go, to literally see through your own eyes everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, all of your habits, and they would have the ability to track that. So Facebook is also developing an artificial intelligence voice assistant. So yes, this thing will be equipped with an AI, with an artificial intelligence voice assistant that would serve as a user input for the glasses, CNBC previously reported. In addition, the company has experimented with a ring device that would allow users to input information via motion sensor, and that device is codenamed Agios. Now, this might be a stretch, but we know the Mark of the Beast is something that's a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. Could that possibly be a pair of glasses and a ring? You know, that might be a stretch, but at the very least, this might be something that will lead to something else that could lead to some type of, you know, implant or some type of genetic marker that literally changes the genetics of human beings. It could be. This could be the first step towards that. But isn't that interesting that it's something that's on the forehead and something on the hand? So, and the code names too, as on the Skywatch TV website that it pointed out, Agios and Orion. So interesting code names for these two things. Now, the company has hundreds of employees at its Redmond offices working on technology for the AR glasses, but thus far, Facebook has struggled to reduce the size of the device into a form factor that consumers will find appealing, a person who worked on the device told CNBC. Given the long lead time, there's no guarantee that the glasses will be completed on time or ever ship. But one person familiar with the project said that CEO Mark Zuckerberg has a strong interest in the glasses and asked hardware chief Andrew Bosworth to prioritize them. Facebook declined to comment. Luxottica did not immediately return request for comment. Facebook is not alone in believing that smart glasses that superimpose computer-generated images over the real world will be the next big thing in computing. Already, Microsoft makes the HoloLens 2 headset. Snapchat parent company Snap sells its spectacles glasses. And Florida startup Magic Leap sells its Magic Leap 1 AR glasses, although none of these devices have become a hit. Apple is also reportedly working on a similar product that could hit the market as early as next year. Luxottica is the parent company of Ray-Ban, Oakley, and other sunglasses brands. The company has previously experimented with this technology, partnering in 2014 with Google to design, develop, and distribute the Google Glass device. Now, isn't that interesting? Because this is something that has been tried and has, so far, has always failed. Usually, with any normal product, when you market test a product like that, if it fails, it fails, it doesn't get picked up again, and you move on to something else. But for some reason, there's like a vested interest in really getting these wearable technology things, specifically glasses, going. And I think it's that these companies, they have more to gain than just the sale of glasses. I think that they will really learn everything that they want to know about us even more than they already can, especially when artificial intelligence is integrated with this. Like we said before, they'll be able to track everywhere you go. They'll be able to literally see everything you're seeing. They're basically with you at all times. How could this not be Antichrist in spirit? I mean, that's the role of the Holy Spirit. That's the role of Jesus, to be with you at all times, to live life with you, you know, to always have that relationship. Yet now, this development is putting an artificial intelligence in that place. So I believe that very well could lead to what we read about with the Mark of the Beast system. Now, does that mean that these wearables are necessarily evil in and of themselves today? No, it's just technology. But again, it's something that we should be very careful about because technology can be abused. And if it's one thing these major corporations have showed us time and time again, they don't care about our privacy. They have no respect of our privacy whatsoever. For them, it's all about acquiring information so they can better target you. Today, for advertisements, tomorrow, who knows? Brain hack devices have been something we've talked about many times on Into the Multiverse. Now top scientists are saying that they need to be scrutinized because of privacy efforts or privacy concerns, just like privacy concerns with the technological glasses that follow you around everywhere. This is actual brain hack stuff. So this is a step beyond the glasses. This is when it's a brain implant. Devices, so this comes from BBC, but it says devices that merge machines with human brains need to be investigated, a study has said. So in the future, people could become telepathic to some degree and be able to read somebody else's thoughts, and that raises ethical issues, certain experts have said. This could become especially worrying if those thoughts were shared with corporations. Now again, going back to the glasses, the wearable technology, even your cell phones today, those can already track a lot of your behaviors, a lot of your movements, and they can target you based on those, specifically with advertising. But again, later on, who knows? Who knows what they're going to target us with? But imagine if this is implanted in your brain. They have access to your brain waves. They have access to everything, anything that provides you with a some type of stimulation. They'll be able to track that, read that, store that for later, and entice you with that. It's going to be a lot easier to deceive people in that type of reality. So commercial products should not come from a handful of companies, they added. Now, in the study, which is called iHuman, Blurring Lines Between Mind and Machine, leading scientists at the UK's Royal Society lay out the opportunities and risks of brain-to-computer devices. Such interfaces refer to gadgets either implanted in the body or worn externally that stimulate activity in either the brain or nervous system. It looked at some of the future possibilities of neural technology, such as the ability to beam a neural postcard to somebody so they could see what you see even if they are not there. Now, that's something that could be done with those glasses as well. Same thing could be done. But this would actually be you're experiencing it with this person. People being able to converse without speaking through access to each other's thoughts. Now, that's interesting because that gets into all sorts of Tower of Babel stuff. You know, if everybody's able to communicate with each other once again, is that going to inflict some other type of curse on the human race? You know, back in the days of the Tower of Babel, everybody was collected in one spot and they all spoke one language, and it created a lot of problems. I mean, they were up to some pretty evil deeds, so God came down and scattered everybody, and you know that's why we have all these different cultures and countries and religions and things like that today. But imagine if this is like a return to Babel once again. But instead of us being gathered in one spot, we're all over the earth. But now we can all communicate with one another, even telepathically, with perfect clarity. What types of evil deeds would we be up to in our modern technological age that they didn't even have access to in ancient times? And also, people being able to simply download new skills, sort of like the movie The Matrix. Now, as part of this report, scientists asked the public what they thought of such interfaces and found strong support for their use in allowing patients to recover from injury or a medical condition. Now, keep that in mind because they will always go back to that. Every time that they want to do something like this, they always thinly veil it with some type of humanitarian excuse. And they do this because they're trying to speak to your emotions rather than your reason and logic. Because reason and logic would say, well, how could this technology be abused? It likely will be abused because it's human beings and we're faulty and we're corrupt. But emotion would say, well, don't you want people to be cured of cancer? You know, don't you want people to be able to walk again? Well, of course, but those good intentions are almost never fully realized. You know, it's almost always, I would actually say it is always, not even almost, it is always on the other end where it gets abused. So how could these things be abused? Somebody, if a corporation has literal access to your brain at all times, how could that be abused? It says there was far less support for using such devices to enhance functions such as memory or physical strength in healthy people. And while right now there was far less support of that, that will happen. That is coming. There's a growing transhumanist movement out there that is being largely ignored by the rest of the world. But remember what happened when in the 50s or 60s, the world, our culture, ignored the New Age movement because they thought that it was silly, a little underground thing. A handful of people in Sedona, Arizona that wanted to sing to rocks or something. But look what it's turned into now. Now, basically, everybody has some form of New Age belief. And it's only getting worse. Now, among the risks highlighted by the report was the idea of thoughts or moods being accessed by big corporations, as well as the bigger question about whether such devices fundamentally change what it means to be human. Dr. Tim Constantino, director of the Next Generation Neural Interfaces, or NGNI, lab at Imperial College London and co-chair of the report, said, quote, by 2040, neural interfaces are likely to be an established option to enable people to walk after paralysis and tackle treatment-resistant depression. They may even have made treating Alzheimer's disease a reality. I'll just pause right there. Again, they're always going to start with the humanitarian stuff. They're always going to start with, this is how wonderful it'll be. It'll give people their lives back. And if they address it at all, they'll barely address the negative impacts, how this could be abused, how it will be abused. It's not a question of if. I mean, everything is going to be abused. Every technological advance that we have ever made has been abused in one form or another. Name me one invention that's never been abused or that has never been used in an effort to go outside of God's will. I mean, all of it has. So it's not even a matter of if it'll be abused. It's how. So he continues, quote, while advances like seamless brain-to-computer communication seem a much more distant possibility, we should act now to ensure our ethical and regulatory safeguards are flexible enough for any future development. In this way, we can guarantee these emerging technologies are implemented safely for the benefit of humanity, end quote. Always be suspicious when anybody says that they can guarantee that it's going to be implemented safely and for the benefit of humanity. For one thing, how do you define benefit? Is it their idea of benefit? My idea for how to benefit humanity is to go out and make disciples of all nations. I would suspect they would probably disagree with that. So what is their definition of benefit of humanity? What's their definition of safely? You know, maybe their version of what's safe isn't the same as my version or your version of what's safe. It's impossible for them to guarantee that. So if they're going out on a limb and saying that, be extremely suspicious. The report recommends, one, a national investigation of the ethical issues presented by neural interfaces to address what data should be collected, how it's kept safe, and the acceptability of merging machines and humans. Two, creation of a neural interface ecosystem to encourage industry and universities to innovate and collaborate in the field. Three, the UK's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency to trial new ways to bring such products to market and prevent a monopoly by big tech firms. In July, Elon Musk announced his firm Neuralink was applying to start human trials in the U.S. with electrodes inserted into the brains of patients with paralysis. And Facebook is supporting research that aims to create a headset, which we've talked about just a moment ago, with the ability to transcribe words at a rate of 100 per minute just by thinking. In the U.S., it is estimated that 60,000 spinal cord stimulators are implanted annually around the world. Some 400,000 people have benefited from cochlear implants. Now, that's a false comparison, because what is a hearing aid? How is a hearing aid going to invade your privacy? There's not an artificial intelligence in there. There's not the hearing aid companies aren't tracking your movements with these things. Same with the spinal cord stimulators. So that's a false comparison, but they're doing this to normalize this extreme technology that would be easy to be abused. So it says thousands of people with Parkinson's disease and similar conditions have been treated with deep brain stimulation, and artificial pancreases and wireless heart monitors are also common. Again, they're making a lot of these false comparisons because they're trying to say that these extreme technological advances, these really invasive ones, are on par with these kind of more mundane and normal ones. But again, these technologies, you're not being tracked with, as far as we know, but you're not being tracked with them. They're not, these companies are not, who develop, you know, these things, they're not using your spinal cord stimulator or your artificial pancreas to monitor your behaviors and your moods so they know how better to advertise to you, how to target you for which ads. And again, like I said, today it's targeting you for ads. Tomorrow it's targeting you for something else. And if you want to know what, read what happens to Christians in the book of Revelation. So they're not the same thing. Don't fall for it. And just be very suspicious of these people developing this technology, because again, they're guaranteeing it. How could they possibly do that? They know they can't. How could you guarantee that? But by guaranteeing it, they are let off the hook and they don't have to discuss the potential hazards or abuses of their own technologies. Because for right now, it's all about power, control, money. It's not about these humanitarian efforts that they are using as excuses why we need to have these things. So just keep that in mind. Okay, lastly, there's a mysterious object from interstellar space that we are now able to see because of emerging technology. We're able to see more signs in the heavens that we weren't able to see before in ancient times. You know, we could see some stuff, but now we're able to see a lot more, which means they're just, you know, just by sheer mathematics, there is an increase in signs of the heavens that we're able to see. Like I said, I believe that God knew that, and I believe that when in the Bible it says that these signs in the heavens are for seasons and stuff like that. I think there's something behind that, and I think He knew that we were going to approach a time in human civilization where we would be able to see basically all of the heavenly signs. So we're seeing more. Well, here's one. What is this a sign of? I have no idea, but it's important to talk about. So a mysterious object from deep space is fizzing towards the solar system, and scientists have no idea what it is. It's been called C2019Q4, because of course they can't give these things regular names like Jeff or Matt. But it's a high-speed body that appears to be on a path originating from another star system that will see its first pass, that'll see it fire past Mars in October. Now, that would make it only the second interstellar visitor ever known to have reached the solar system. The first, which was the cigar-shaped object called Oumuamua, which we've talked about on Into the Multiverse here before. We've done an entire episode on it that you can go back and find if you want to see that. But it took the world by storm when it careened past Earth in 2017. A pair of Harvard scientists claim it could be an alien spacecraft. And, okay, nobody actually ever took that seriously. That is a highly inflated claim that a lot of newspapers grabbed a hold of because they wanted clicks. But nobody actually thought that. Sparking a frantic flurry of scans as the object closed in on the solar system. Experts found no signs of alien signals, and Oumuamua whizzed past Earth before its true origin could have been determined. But now researchers at the ESO, or European Southern Observatory in Germany, say an object once thought to be from the solar system may actually be an interstellar traveler. C2019Q4 was spotted on August 30th by amateur Ukrainian astronomer Gennady Borisov, and scientists have studied it ever since. It's so exciting. This is a direct quote from Olivier Hanot, an astronomer with the ESO, who told this to Business Insider. Quote, "It's so exciting. We're basically looking away from all of our other projects right now. The main difference from Oumuamua and this one is that we got it a long time in advance. Now astronomers are much more prepared," end quote. So Dr. Hanot was also part of a team that studied Oumuamua during its brief visit. I really don't like saying that word. It's hard to say. I wish they would have given it a different name. At least it's not some weird code with letters and numbers and asterisks and whatever else. But still, it's a difficult name to say. But anyway, so early images of C2019Q4 suggest it's followed by a trail of dust. Here's an that's an artistic impression of the interstellar object Oumuamua. Now, that's typically what you see coming out of the back of a comet, the dust trail, but scientists say they can't be sure what the object is. With more observations of C 2019 Q4, scientists have worked out the shape of its orbit. If the object is indeed interstellar, scientists should be able to study it until early 2021 when it will grow too dim to see. So that means we'll have way more time to study it than the other one. I'm done saying that word, which was only visible for a few weeks before it disappeared into deep space, never to be seen again. Back in July, a Harvard space chief claimed that past object could be an alien spacecraft that broke down on its interstellar journey. And of course, like we said before, nobody really thought that. So, you know, this says that may explain why we didn't spot any signals coming from it, though not all scientists agree. No scientists agree. Nobody thought that it was an alien spacecraft. If this guy thought so, he was the only one. In July, an international team of scientists concluded that the past object has a purely natural origin. They reckon it's a hunk of rock ejected by a giant space planet, or a giant gas planet, excuse me. Speaking to the Sun's space expert, Alembit Opik said the new object shows how easy it is for interstellar objects to reach the solar system. So, you know, the article goes on and you can read it. You can read it. But why this is so important is because every time they discover something new, they always tie it to like an alien craft, even though they know it's not. You know, they know that there's nothing about it that shows any kind of intelligent movements throughout space. They know that it's not an alien spacecraft. But articles like this, they'll push that narrative because mainly it gets clicks. But why does it get clicks? It's because that idea, which is called cosmic plurality, the idea that there could be life on other planets, that idea is really prevalent in our culture right now. Most people believe in it. But even more than that, most people believe that we're being visited. Now, as Derek Gilbert and I wrote in The Day the Earth Stands Still, our book, you could make a theological case for there being life on other planets, but for whatever is visiting us right now, that's clearly demonic. In origin and in nature, and we wrote all about that in the book. It's really two questions here: is there life on other worlds, and are we being visited? Is there life on other worlds? Who knows? We have no way of knowing that. Are we being visited? Yes, but not by them. It's not by extraterrestrials. It's by interdimensionals. So we are really extra dimensionals if we're going to be accurate, but we detail that in the book. We've talked about it plenty of times on this show, so I don't want to get too far into that, but I did want to talk about this story because it's yet another example of this cosmic plurality thing, which has been increasing, especially the past couple years since the 2017 official disclosure stuff happened. And I believe we're going to see it increase. And that's also why I say keep your eyes on Israel, because they're, like we talked about last week, there's a lot of stuff going on in Israel right now that could determine Bible prophecy. And as Derek and I discuss in our book, The Day the Earth Stands Still, there seems to be a connection with major events in Israel and this idea of cosmic plurality. It's usually, in our modern age, usually having to do with some UFO flap or something like that. But sometimes it could be something like this. It's anything that further instills cosmic plurality in the mind of the culture. For some reason, those two go hand in hand. We're seeing a big increase in the cosmic plurality stuff. So I think there's something ready to happen, something big in Israel, and we need to keep our eyes on that. Okay, so I will leave you with that. Next week, we are going to talk about how in religion we are headed towards the end times. We have a lot to talk about, how New Age has become even more prevalent. There's a Florida camp where believers can ask for healing or even chat with the dead, and that type of thing is becoming more common. There's supposed Christian pastors who are blessing abortion clinics and singing hallelujah, bless this room, in abortion facilities. It's absolutely disgusting stuff. Talk about the great falling away. And then there's also a global alliance of religions that join to push for the UN Agenda 2030. So we're going to talk about all of that next week. That is the religious implications of the times we're living in and how that will lead to the end times described in Revelation and other prophetic books of the Bible. All right, everybody. Again, if you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you subscribe to this channel, click the bell for notifications, and thank you for joining me. Until next time, take care and God bless.
Are you ready for the best deals anywhere on Jonathan Cahn's new works? Now, while supplies last, when you purchase New York Times best-selling author Rabbi Jonathan Cahn's brand new book, The Oracle, from Skywatch TV, you'll receive an unprecedented opportunity to save big. Skywatch TV is proud to announce two new collections, the Oracle Collection or the Oracle Collection Expanded with Uncensored DVD Album. In Jonathan Kahn's newest masterpiece, you'll embark on an epic journey to the man known as the Oracle. You will learn about the Lost City, Angelic Guides, The Man in the Black Robe, and The Awakening of a Dragon. These Jubilean mysteries revealed, and so much more. But that's not all. While supplies last, you'll also receive absolutely free Jonathan Kahn's The Mystery of the Shemitah and The Paradigm, which by themselves hold a retail value of $40. Sold separately, this exclusive offer retails for $64. Yours now for only $35 plus shipping and handling. But wait, now you have the option to upgrade and expand your collection by including the Oracle Uncensored 8-DVD album featuring exclusive material revealed nowhere else. The expanded collection, which includes all three books and the uncensored DVD album, holds a retail value of $120. Yours now for your donation of only $65 plus shipping and handling. So don't delay. Order the Oracle Collection or the Oracle Collection Expanded with Uncensored DVD Album now. Available at SkywatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985.